Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks. This is Troy Dooley. I'm excited about today's show, and I'll tell you why I am. I'm doing it for my cell phone with no electricity because they just came by in our neighborhood and they shut the electricity down because it's a beautiful, clear day. Started to do this last week, and it rained 7 inches, and they decided trying to reconnect power lines in the rain was not a good idea. But, Jim, are you with us on the show this morning? All right, that's what I wanted to find out because I can't see the switchboard. So when Jim calls in, what we'll do is we'll have him turn his mic on because I can't see what's going on. But, folks, it's beautiful. You know, every day that you get closer and closer and closer to Christmas Day, the kids get excited. The aroma's coming out of the kitchen where everybody's cooking and doing things. And with our in-laws in town, my father-in-law is a professional chef and barbecuer. So, man, he's just been cooking like crazy, and it's been fun and exciting. And that's part of what our show is this week, is just talking about the family, but in particular, spousal support. You know, we started this yesterday where we were talking about the difference that it can make in a marriage, the difference it can make in any relationship, you know, whether you're married or not. And for all of our single friends, please forgive us, because Jim and I, being as married as long as we are, that's just how we think. We don't think any other way. So sometimes when we talk about wives or husbands, I want y'all to understand this isn't any relationship. When you're in a personal relationship, it's that support factor that you have to have. It's that support factor that makes the difference. And when Jim had said, Troy, let's do this over the holiday. Let's really focus on that. I thought, man, what a great thing, because as we go into the new year, that can be one of those new year goals and objectives that everybody has. It's just to make sure that they're supporting their spouse and their career endeavors and around the house, whatever needs to be done. And I'm telling you from personal experience, it's just a great change in attitude when you're doing that. And there's a book out that you guys can buy. We're not using the book for our training on this, but it's The 7 Love Languages. And, man, it's just a powerful book. It talks about the seven different types of love and that language and how people feel like they're loved and feel like they're desired. And you'd be amazed once you have read that and you put it to use both for yourself and for your significant other, you start to learn how to approach them, how to make them feel so desirable, both as a person, as a lover, as a mom, as a wife, whatever the case may be, that the whole outlook changes. So, hey, Jim, have you joined us yet? Okay, Jimmy, if you're... Oh, good, good, good. Well, I can't see the switchboard, man, because they outdid our electricity here.
No, I understand. I just... I had muted myself because you were on a roll, and I was just going to let you go until you came up for air, and, you know, then I'd chime in, man.
Oh, man, listen, you know, I was cracking up, and folks, we're going to digress a little bit, but this shows you the power of viral marketing, and it's so interesting. When I watched this last night, a friend of Jim and I's had come over onto my Facebook page, and he put up a thing that said, hey, I want you guys to explain in one word what you think about me. So I did it for him, and then I copy and pasted what he did and put it on mine. And Jimmy, when I got up this morning, before they turned my electricity off, I've counted like 7 or 8 different people I'm connected with that did exactly the same thing that you and I have done and gone out and posted this on their Facebook pages, and they're getting people to say in one word what they think about them. And, I got to looking at that and thought, man, what a beautiful way to share about viral marketing, about network marketing. I thought, man, this is great.
Well, you know, speaking of which, I think tomorrow would be a great day to, and this just goes to show you guys how unscripted we are right now over the holidays, but I'm thinking tomorrow one of the things that I want to do is I want to talk about the do's and don'ts of social networking, how to use social networking and, you know, sites like Twitter and MySpace and YouTube and Blog Talk Radio and Facebook and, you know, all these different social medias that are out there. And we'll talk about do's and don'ts and how you can use them to your advantage without becoming a spammer.
Amen to that one.
So, you know, you had just mentioned the seven love languages. And, you know, I went in and I modified some of the information on yesterday's show and today's show, and I added three books that are up there, and you just gave me an idea to add. I put the same three on both pages, and I think that was a mistake. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to change that. What we can do is, you know, the three that I've got on there right now is the Maxwell Leadership Bible. I mean, that's the basic foundation for everything.
Absolutely.
You know, and then from there, I added the Love Dare, which, if, folks, if you haven't seen the movie Fireproof, you know, it talks about the power of the Love Dare, and it's a 40-day commitment to where you, as the spouse, you do things using the philosophy that expectations are nothing more than premeditated resentments, and you actually, you know, you don't expect anything in return for the actions that you're giving, and you go forth with doing something new to show appreciation, love, and support for your significant other every day for 40 days, and watch and see if it can save a relationship that could be on the rocks. I mean, it is truly, truly a powerful book. They've got couples workshops on it now. They've got a 365-day devotional dedicated to the Love Dare. They've got a multitude of different things that have come up on this. It's an absolutely amazing book that will help you change relationships. Another one, and it's ironic that you said seven, because at first, when you first started to say it, I thought you were going to use the same title of one of the ones that I put on there, and that's The Seven Principles for Making Marriage Work. And this is
a book
by Dr. John Gottman. And then there was another one. Oh, yes, The 10 Powerful Phrases of Successful People. And that little book is just absolutely amazing in my mind, what it can do for putting your relationship on track, just using those expressions with your significant other. And one of the most powerful words that I've ever learned, and I learned this, you know, with nothing to do with being a friend, a lover, a spouse, or anything else. I learned it early on as an instructor pilot, and it's the power of the word "we." Because if you're flying with someone, if you're in a relationship with someone, and you make a statement, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? You know, what were you thinking? That comes across as very accusatory and very condescending. But when you say the same thing, what are we doing? What do we need to do to fix this? How can we change this? You take partial ownership in it. It's nowhere near as accusatory. It's not as threatening to the other person, and it's much more conducive for problem solving. And I think that's, you know, yesterday we talked about the fact that today we were going to give you some ideas on ways that you can move forward and ways that you can help build bridges in your relationships, going to bring people closer to you and help them, you know, be able to support you. Well, I tell you what, using the word "we" instead of using the word "you." Every time you're in a discussion with your significant other and you think you might want to use the word "you," pause. Think about how you can structure that phrase or that sentence or that comment using the term "we" instead, and watch the difference in the results that you can get as a result of that one simple word.
You know, Jimmy, we can take it even a step further, I think, because as you were saying that, as I was thinking backwards, because you're talking about helicopter pilots, I got to thinking about as a teenager, and then I've done this as an adult with all my girls in the family, but I can remember in school, I had a little gal that I just became very, very close to, and I never knew my biological sister, and she kind of became my surrogate sister. And I used to call her beautiful brown-eyed girl because she was just this beautiful blonde. She had these gorgeous eyes. And when we connected about 6 months ago on Facebook, because we've both gone separate directions, she'd gotten married a couple, three times, and I didn't know where to look for her. But the first thing out of her mouth was, oh, my gosh, you used to call me your beautiful brown-eyed girl. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, I always called Paige Princess. And when we got together after dating and she went off to college, you know, she always said, you know, you're my knight in shining armor, and I always thought of you like that because you would call me Princess. And my two daughters, I've got one I call Sunshine, and the other one I call Little Princess. And when I use those terms of affection, it's amazing how even if I'm frustrated with them, if I say, "Now look, Sunshine, we need to have a talk," automatically it breaks down that defensive mode that she's in, and she listens because she knows that whatever I'm going to say, I truly am saying it out of love, or I wouldn't have brought that up. And I think everybody should think backwards in their relationship. If you used to call your spouse something, and it wasn't, you know, maggot or something like that, I tell you, that's a different story. But I was sitting in a restaurant one night watching a guy that I was getting ready to pull into jail, and across the room, this guy kept calling his wife maggot. And, Jimmy, I just wanted to get up and rip his head off because I thought, how embarrassing. So you can't use nasty terms, but if you use a good term, man, you'd be amazed how you can break down barriers inside when you're talking and you're getting frustrated. You know, just like Jim saying the word "we," man, that works perfectly. A term like this works perfectly. Just rip away those walls, because, man, we all have this tendency of throwing bricks at each other to the ones that we love the most that we wouldn't do out in public to other people.
Oh, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You know, it reminds me, you know, of the very first time I read the book from John Gray, "Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus." You know,
oh, yeah.
I'm reading the book, and I'm, you know, about every third or fourth page, you know, I'm thinking to myself, did this guy have a video camera in my house or something?
Oh, I know that feeling.
You know, I mean, it was mind-boggling, Troy, because, you know, he's talking about stuff that is so right on, so insightful, that he had to have been in my house.
Oh.
He had to have had someone spying on me. I mean, after all, I'm a unique individual. I couldn't be that much like everybody else, you know, that he could have nailed me so perfectly in everything that he was talking about. And then I read the book, the follow-up to it, you know, the "What Your Mother Couldn't Tell You and Your Father Didn't Know."
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I'm replaying this thing in my head, and I'm saying, all right, I want royalties on this book, because this guy was shadowing me. There's absolutely no way he could have gathered all this intelligence without having someone stalking me. There's no way.
Oh, No, go ahead. Well, you hit it on the head, because we all have this tendency of thinking that we have created the most perfectly dysfunctional family in the world, and nobody else has one like ours. And then we pick up a book like John's, and it's like, man, he has been spying on me. That satellite up there in the sky has not just taken a picture of my house; they recorded everything that's happening inside of it.
Oh yeah, Big Brother is watching. Big Brother is watching, and John Gray's been recording the whole thing.
Oh, I know that feeling so bad.
it just boggles my mind, you know, because after all, we all like to think, and you know, this just goes to show how the human mind can be such a interesting mechanism, because we all like to think how we've got our own uniqueness and everything. But you know what the crazy thing about it is, the truth of it is, and you and I are a perfect testament to this.
Yeah.
You know, before we got together and, you know, and started comparing notes, I mean, we were a couple of guys that were doing business on the internet, and, you know, we had a mutual friend. And you know, then we got to know each other, and it seems like the closer we've gotten and the more we've gotten to know about each other, the more we're almost identical.
And we're married. We're married to sisters from different mothers, man. They are like, they act alike. They do the same things. They get frustrated at the same things. It's like, man, how did this happen?
It goes beyond weird, man. I tell you, it's just, yeah, it's funny. But the amazing thing about it is the perseverance in what it's actually created.
Yep.
Because, you know, I believe, you know, you mentioned something. I forget what the exact quote was. In one of the recent lessons that you were doing on the teachings of John Maxwell, you were talking about the idealist when baptized by fire out something and the idealist when baptized by fire comes out as one of two things. If they get burned, they come out as the eternal pessimist or skeptic. And mm-hmm. if they get purified, they come out as a realist. I think that's, you know, something along
that's
that
close.
Line.
Yep.
Is what it was. And folks, I see people all the time that have been in relationships. And I've got a good friend of mine, a very good friend, he's like a brother in fact, who's in his mid-40s and has all but written off the idea that he's ever going to get married because he is so unwilling to compromise. This individual has a couple of planes, a couple of motorcycles, a couple of vehicles, owns his own home with a swimming pool. I mean, he's got more gadgets and gizmos and toys than any person alive. But he doesn't have the two most expensive toys known to man and the two most rewarding toys known to man, and that's a wife and children. And he is the way he is because he is the way he is. And that's so simple, but it's so profound. You know, what I'm going to talk about next, you know, again, we mentioned yesterday that we're going to give you some tools on today's show. Well, the first one that we talked about was the use of the word we. The second one we talked about was the use of terms of endearment to diffuse potential situations. The next one we're going to talk about is a willingness to compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Because without a willingness to compromise, we can never be right 100% of the time. I heard in conversation a gentleman say one time when I was a very young man, didn't understand it when I first heard it, but boy, do I understand it now. He said, in a relationship, it's more important to be happy than right.
Yep.
And the only way that you can ensure in a relationship that you're going to be happy the majority of the time is if you're willing to make compromises. You're willing to sacrifice and put the other person first. And folks, that's probably one of the single most important rules when it comes to relationships that you can possibly imagine.
You know, you hit something on that, Jimmy, and I think people need to realize if you're in a relationship and you constantly feel like, well, you're the one doing all the compromising and the other person isn't compromising, you need to be analyzing how you're communicating with that other person. Because you may feel like you're compromising, and you truly may be, after you have belittled them, slammed them, picked a fight with them, done whatever, and you've got to make sure that you're listening to the words that you use, just like Jim's talking about. Because compromise, Maxwell's always said it great, and I just love this. It's giving 100% to the 1% that you can find that you can agree on. And all you have to do in a conversation is find 1% and then focus on that. And everything else will work out. Another thing that I've learned just about the human body when you're in the middle of confrontation, whether it's with somebody you love or an enemy, women and men have one thing alike, and it's the fact that once your blood pressure hits a specific level, you do not think rationally whatsoever. And men will do this a lot more than women because our blood pressure level for this is lower, and it's because we don't give childbirth. Women give childbirth. They've got a high pain tolerance. They can take a lot before they explode. Men have a tendency of hitting that spot, and then we say the stupidest things that as soon as it left our lips, we're trying to grab it back and hope that she didn't hear it, and it's too late. So don't let yourself get into the middle of confrontation. Learn right off the bat, like Jim's saying, just write down, I'm going to become a compromiser. And start to figure out where can you compromise. And we're not talking about compromising values. We're talking about compromising the most stupid things that we all like to grab a hold of like it's ours. And you don't want to do that. You just want to be able to be happy. When you're happy, man, life can, you can get along with anything. You can do anything. When Paige and I are on the same page, it's when we're both happy, when we're both excited, when we both know we're headed for the same direction, we want the same goals, and we're not nitpicking each other over the little details that sometimes get in the way. So I just wanted to bring that up while we're at it, Jim.
No, dude, you are absolutely 100% unequivocally correct. And, you know, the amazing thing about it is the older I get, the smarter my parents were. And secondly, it amazes me how much we can learn and change as human beings if we're willing to consider ourselves a blank canvas and a work in progress.
It's true.
You know, I believe that the good Lord intended us to learn something new every day, and to grow through the learning that takes place, and to ultimately pass that on to others. Because if you think about it, from the time of our inception, and we first start entering the world, every day is, as Troy likes to say, is an epic adventure. We're constantly learning new things, acquiring new skills, discovering new, amazing things. I mean, I look at my grandson at 18 months, and I see his eyes light up with discovery over the smallest of things that he sees. You can see that it's all about discovery. And I think, you know, what is our role as parents? Nature has intended us to be a student first, a provider second, and a teacher third. It's the natural evolution of life. And it doesn't matter what the species, that's the natural evolution of life. Student, provider, seeker, teacher. And if we're constantly striving to stay in the environment of, we're going to continue to grow and learn new things that we can pass on and teach for the rest of our natural lives and beyond, in my opinion. Go ahead, man.
No, you hit on something right there, and it brought up, I'm going to go back to one of the books that you mentioned, the Maxwell Bible. But folks, whether you believe in the Bible or not is irrelevant at this point. I just want you to, if you've got one available, or the next time at your bookstore, if you go to a book in the Bible, it's towards the back. It's in what's called the New Testament. It's called 1 Corinthians. And go to 1 Corinthians 13. They call that the love chapter. And what Jim's talking about right now is perfect, because in that it has nothing about, you know, do you believe in God or anything like that. It just flat basically says you're going to put the other person first, and you're going to learn that you're going to put your needs second. And a part of that is compromise. Part of it is learning to to go through those stages Jim's just talked about, because I can guarantee you these two-year-old granddaughters I got running around aren't thinking about compromise. It's either their way or the highway. And they'll outgrow that because of the way they're taught. But sometimes as adults, we like to regress and go backwards or digress and go backwards to when we were two, where we want everything our way instead of becoming that nurturer and that protector and that provider. You got to do those things. And that's, Jim, when you said that, I thought, man, that's just a good little, you know, chapter there for people to understand what true love is all about and what they need to do to put their stuff aside and put other people first.
You know, the greatest thing about all of this stuff is we have 100% total control over all of it.
That's right.
We have the ability to take the information in. We have the ability to store, process it, to do something with it if we choose to. And how we choose to accept it or file it has a great deal to do with whether it's going to help us in life or not, plain and simple.
Well, you know, and something else I want to bring up, Jimmy, because I see this a lot with people nowadays, men and women, but folks, the grass is not greener on the other side. I'm going to tell you that right now. It may look greener. You may think it looks more plush. I'm going to tell you it's just as hard to mow as if you stay in your own yard. So if you get in a tizzy, you leave the house, you want to tell your wife you're not putting up with this, and you go out to get a drink, or you go out and sit down at a Starbucks and start flirting with somebody, or they flirt, I'm telling you, you need to back off of that, because it isn't going to be any different. If you're having problems at home right now, the odds are it's not 100% the other person. The odds are it's a two-way street.
Guaranteed.
Go ahead.
100% the other person. You know, the age-old expression, familiarity breeds contempt, and the reason familiarity breeds contempt is because, you know, the more familiar you get with someone, the more you take for granted their qualities and focus on their faults. You know, that's one of the most powerful things that you can do is appreciate the things in the one you love. Appreciate, compliment the things about the person you love on an ongoing basis. You know, this comes back to what Troy had talked about earlier about using terms of endearment. Because when you appreciate and compliment the one that you are in a relationship with, it's amazing how much that person will put up with and tolerate and compromise on, because they're not feeling unappreciated. And that's powerful, my friends. And the last thing I want to talk about this morning real quick is one book, and I saved this to last because it's somewhat controversial. And the author of the book, in my opinion, she nailed it. She hit a home run with this. I mean, she absolutely hit it out of the park. And that's Dr. Laura Schlesinger's book, The Proper Care and Feeding of Husbands. And ladies, if you're offended by the title, I apologize. But at the same time, I guarantee you that it's a worthwhile read. And she hit a home run with this book because men are much simple-minded creatures compared to the complexity of women. Take it away, Troy.
Well, that's absolutely true. And ladies, sometimes what you think is a desire truly is a need for men. And if you can, I mean, her book is great. And if you learn to feed your man, and we're not just talking in this sexual connotation here, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of needs that men have that are different than women. And when you learn to do this, the sky's the limit. Guys, join us tomorrow. We're going to have fun. We're going to be on talking about social marketing. We're not going to bang around on the spousal stuff all the time. But I'll tell you what we are going to do. We're going to be peppering this throughout the year in 2010, because relationships are so important. It's the only way you're going to continue to strive forward. You're going to reach the contentment that you want. I'm telling you, everything rises and falls on the relationships in your life. That's why it's called the law of connection. And if you learn how to connect, you can do so many different things. It's amazing. For you that are doing late time Christmas shopping, you guys be safe on the highway. I know there's a lot of stuff going on. Be back here with us tomorrow morning, Radio for Your Mind, as Jim and I start talking about some social marketing and how to do it right so you're not a spammer. We'll talk to you in the morning. Bye now.
God bless everybody. Have a fantastic day.